You're listening to China Africa Talk.
Jambo, ni Bridget akikuletea kipindi kinachohusiana na China na Afrika.
Vous écoutez le dialogue sino-africain avec Bridget.
Everything China, everything Africa.
Olá, você está ouvindo China Africa Talk com Bridget.
سيدتي وسادتي مرحبا بكم في الحوار الصيني العربي مع بريتشيت.
Hello and welcome to another edition of China Africa Talk. I'm your host, Bridget Mutambirwa, coming to you from the Chinese capital in Beijing with more news and discussions on what's happening with China and Africa from a Chinese and African perspective. As the world is grappling with climate change in consensus to move to green energy, China-Africa's renewable energy cooperation is bearing fruits. China holds a dominant position in global green transition, particularly through the development of the so-called new three clean energy technologies, that is, electric vehicles, lithium-ion batteries, and solar panels. Africa is also keenly partaking in global green evolution. The continent boasts vast resources in renewable energies such as solar, wind, and hydro. And developing those resources is expected to enhance Africa's energy supply, significantly addressing persistent problems such as electricity shortages. It is believed there are tremendous opportunities for emerging markets and developing countries to improve their integration into global supply chains for clean energy technologies. By capitalizing on inter-regional trade, these countries can improve their manufacturing competitiveness and increase exports of higher value-added products. So what is China's role in the global green transition, and how does it support the green energy transition in African countries in compliance with the China-Africa Cooperation Vision 2035 agenda under Green Development and the Green Belt and Road Initiative? To unravel our discussion, I'm joined by Mr. Ma Jun, Founding Director of Institute of Public and Environmental Affairs, and Dr. Oscar Agan from Kenya's National Environment Management Authority and Founder and CEO at Continental Renewable Energy. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Brigitte, for the invite.
Mr. Ma, China and Africa jointly formulated the China-Africa Cooperation Vision 2035 to determine the directions and objectives of mid- and long-term cooperation and promote a closer community with a shared future for China and Africa. And green development is high on the agenda, as this vision includes, I quote, jointly developing a new green growth model for common eco-development of China and Africa. Heading forward, achieving this goal, where are we now and are we on track?
I think this vision is obviously means to deepen our comprehensive strategic partnership and to try to achieve high quality development through practical collaboration. And it is aligned with China's vision 2035 and UN 2030 agenda for sustainable development. And of course, African Union's agenda, as well as all these national development strategies of African countries. And ever since this vision has been determined and have been made, China has continuously tried to strengthen collaboration with Africa. In 2021, China and Africa signed the declaration on the China-Africa cooperation on combating climate change and launched a three-year China-Africa action plan and assisted in the implementation of some 10 green environmental protection and climate change projects in Africa, as well as promoting the implementation of China-Africa green development projects. As of September 2023, China has signed memorandums of understanding with 15 African countries to implement some climate change mitigation and adaptation projects. In July 2022, under the framework of South-South cooperation to cope with climate change, China assisted Egypt, for example, you know, in Egypt with 1,800 solar-powered LED street lamps, 40,000 LED energy-saving lamps, and 1,000 set of solar powered household power generated systems. At the end of October that year, the Chinese enterprises has constructed 500 megawatts Gulf of Suez wind power project for Egypt. This is the largest single wind power project in that country, and also one of the largest new energy projects assigned by Egypt in recent years, have the potential to reduce about 1 million tons of carbon dioxide emissions. At the first African Climate Summit in September 2023, Chinese Environment Minister Huang Renqiu announced plans to develop African Solar Belt Project, which will assist African countries in developing and utilizing solar energy resources. So I just stop here and look forward to further this.
Okay, so that's the beauty of this program. We get to hear perspectives from an African and a Chinese on a specific topic. Dr. Agan, I'll ask you the same question. Achieving this goal, where are we now and are we on track?
Absolutely. I must admit that China is a very, very supportive partner to Africa. They are almost in most African countries. But in Kenya, I know that China is heavily supporting green energy generation. I am aware that a couple of projects like the geothermal projects that are currently done under Geothermal Corporation of Kenya and other solar projects within that vicinity are majorly supported by China. We appreciate that China is really supporting Africa. I think the problem is with us, that when we have this kind of cooperation, then we do not meet our part strictly on what has been designed on paper. Like there are cases where China as a partner would do their part to put up the infrastructure. Now, on our part to implement the nitty-gritty and to ensure compliance in line with what you call the agreement is a challenge, because most of us who do it through the government are not really very keen as the Chinese are. Most of us in Africa here are quite complacent in terms of ensuring that whatever cooperation development that we get into with other countries like China are not really. They are on time, but there are areas where there are gaps which are turning out like what we are currently experiencing. China has done a lot of the infrastructure projects around, and China has done a lot of the what you call the power generation projects. But you can see the kind of floods we have now, which should be actually be the part of what you call the county governments to play their role in terms to avoid the current floodings that we see. So I think it is a weakness on our part as the partners to these agreements. So as far as I'm concerned, yes, China has done their level best, but we as recipients and partners are not exactly doing what we expected to do.
Mr. Ma, China is leading the world in terms of green development. Can you provide us with some statistics and what has China achieved in terms of green development and how is it contributing to the global green transition?
Yes, China has been trying hard to green development model. Since 2013, over the past 10 years, China has made tremendous efforts to try to reduce our air and water and soil pollution. And during the process, managed to achieve a co-benefit to control our co-consumption and transform some of our industries and transportation system. 2020, China announced the carbon peak and neutrality target to try to peak our emission by 2030 and achieve carbon neutrality before 2060. And to achieve this, China accelerate our development of particularly renewable energy sector. On that, China has very vastly expanded our installation capacity on wind and solar. And so on that, both wind and solar and geothermal, all this China have achieved the largest installation capacity in the world. And wind and solar put together, the installation capacity last year reached 1,000 gigawatts. This year, the target is to add another 200 gigawatts of that renewable energy. Our 2030 commitment made to the Paris Agreement it is 1,200 gigawatts. So that means that China is going to achieve our target more or less by the end of this year, to our 2030 target. So that demonstrates the vast efforts made to bring our development. And on the e-vehicle side, you know, this is very important to decarbonize our transportation. On that, China also have set target, you know, the target set for 2025 was 20%, you know, for the penetration rate, meaning that every five cars sold, one of them would be e-vehicle. But that target has been overachieved. So far, it's already above 30%. And not just the China's trying to install all this major capacity, expand our own renewable energy capacity. China's also developed a vast innovation and production capacity, which benefit the other parts of the world. So far, China supplies about 80% of the global solar panels, about 50% of the wind power equipment, and about 60% of the e-vehicle batteries. And with that, obviously, not just with a high share of sales, you know, through all this investment and innovation by the solar companies, wind companies, China managed to cut the cost of this renewable energy products by about 80 to 90% in slightly over 10 years of time. And this is a contribution to the global campaign against the climate change. And last year, China's renewable energy and related industries, including nuclear and high-speed trains put together, account for about 40% of the GDP growth. This means that our development model is getting greener.
Dr. Gan, the use of renewable energy is growing in Africa, but how does it compare to the rest of the world, and which African countries are playing a leading role when it comes to turning toward green energy? Is renewable energy the best option for Africa?
Absolutely. I must commend China for giving the African support in terms of renewable energy, because they've got the perfect technology for a third world country. Leading in this kind of technology is South Africa, which has, I think, the largest renewable energy, and then followed by Egypt. And Kenya comes in very closely at the third position. And I must say that as Africans, yes, we admire the new technology, because we got a lot more sunshine, given that we are within the tropics, and we got a lot more wind. And we also have the need, because we are developing countries, but the weakness comes from our part, where most of the governments that run us sort of make it very difficult for private investors to take up the Chinese technology by imposing unnecessarily high taxes, making the commodity ultimately expensive for most of the users. But in reality, if we harmonize that kind of policy, I must say thank you to China, because they have the technology, they provide them at affordable what you call rates, and the adoption by African countries is quite good. But the bureaucracies that exist within the African leadership is discouraging, very discouraging, because what you call the policies and the fiscal rates and the taxes make the products be not very affordable to most organizations that require them. If you look at South Africa, I think they've got a better, I think they've zero-rated green technology. If you look at Egypt, more or less the same. But in Kenya, there's a high cost to it, and that makes it rather not very affordable within the need. But the need and the demand of green energy in Kenya is very high. We have Turkana, which is a massive, massive wind project, and we've got numerous green technologies using what in support through what you call geothermal technology. It's working perfectly well. And then the other private sector that absorbs renewable energy is quite massive. But I think we need to reorganize our house in many African countries, especially Kenya, to make it affordable, to make it adaptable, and to make it possible. Because we got all the sunshine 12 hours a day. Right. We've got a lot of wind in some parts of it. Yet energy, I think power connection to most Kenyans is less than 30%.
Mr. Ma, China has been taking steps to decarbonize its overseas investments and shift toward a Green Belt and Road Initiative. What has been done and what more can be done to support the development of renewable energy in African countries?
I really want to thank Dr. Agan for his kind comments on the China-African collaboration on this. And I really appreciate these insights into the roadmap path forward. And when China announced China's peak neutrality commitment, China also pledged to stop building new coal power projects overseas. And ever since then, 15 coal power projects invested in or built by Chinese parties have been canceled. Chinese companies have all taken the lead in withdrawing from the coal power projects. Chinese banks and financial institutions have also pledged not to finance any new coal mining or coal power projects overseas. As Dr. Agan mentioned, we often see that in Africa, which is a continent full of hope of social economic development, this continent has such a vast, rich resources on renewable energy. This is a sunshine continent, and the solar power resources much richer than most other parts of the world. Last year on COP28, we launched a solar map with Tsinghua University research team. And on that map, we not just present the solar PV farms in China and some statistics in China, but also compile some of the statistics in other parts of the world. And we can see that Africa has such a rich resource, but in the meantime, when it comes to the total installation capacity, particularly when it comes to per capita installation, the solar power, wind power, it's still highly limited. It means that the potential is tremendous. As Dr. Agan mentioned, in China, so much efforts have been made to try to generate cost-effective solutions and make the products increasingly more affordable. There's a very good opportunity for China and African countries to have further collaborations on this issue. And as a strong supporter of sustainable development in Africa, China has launched over 100 clean energy and green development projects under the framework of Forum on China-African Cooperation to support Africa countries in better utilizing solar, hydropower, wind, and biogas and other renewable sources of energy. In the meantime, China has the plan to increase investment on low emission projects, including solar PV farms and wind and other renewable energy projects. Hopefully, you know, we'll share energy saving technologies, high-tech industries, and other green and low carbon industries to further promote the development of that in Africa. That's what we want to see.
Dr. Agan, what barriers can be noted both within Chinese and African institutions to scaling up green energy?
Absolutely. Let me take you back to the year 2007, when Kenya as a government decided to zero rate any importation of solar or renewable energy equipment. That alone, I think that was the highest time that Kenya installed many, many what you call green or renewable energy technologies because it was affordable. Then came in 2013, 2015, when the government brought in fiscal policies that would tax importation of renewable energy. Now, that drastically dropped it because by the time you have it installed, then it's extremely expensive beyond many unless it is done via as a government project. So what I think is that the Chinese government should encourage private investment partnerships instead of just taking on government-related investments. Now, when we have private-related entrepreneurs going into cooperation with Chinese manufacturers and having the government to zero rate renewable energy importation from China, then that will see a massive, massive growth of that technology, of that kind of renewable energy technology into Kenya and mostly into East Africa or Africa as a whole. As a condition to transfer that technology, the government or the importing country or the partnering country must zero rate that kind of technology. The other challenging factor is ignorance. Ignorance in the sense that those who are being targeted have very little idea on how renewable energy works. They have sunshine from 7 in the morning or 6:30 until 6:30 in the evening, but they do not know how to harvest it. They do not know that it exists. So it's also a lot to do with education. It's also a lot to do with civic awareness, so that we know that other than Kenya Power and Lighting Company, there could be other suppliers other than just the main grid. The other important factor is technology skill transfer. The Chinese are experts in renewable energy technology. They've proven to the world, they've proven to we Africans, that they are the most viable partners that we have worldwide. What they should do is to also empower their recipients, who are the Africans, on how to manage this kind of investment, on how to manage this kind of technology, that in the event that there's a technology transfer where curriculums within higher learning education or tertiary educations insist like, yes, let us strengthen renewable energy skill technology, than just have it somebody do his BSc in engineering, but with no knowledge on the renewable energy aspect of it. Now, that technology transfer as a requirement will see the recipients, who are we Africans, expand our capacity to undertake renewable energy projects, because there's going to be a skillful backup to undertake such projects.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the insights shared by Dr. Gan really resonate with me. I also fully agree that, you know, the government-led project is important. But in the meantime, if we really want to scale it up and tap into the vast potential of renewable energy development, then we must make sure that the private enterprises, those with all the capacity and resources and skill set in China and in Africa, you know, they kind of see this as a market opportunity. So then when that day comes, then the whole thing really moves forward in an unprecedented scale.
Mr. Ma, but when we look at the capacity factor of energy source, with the highest capacity factor, nuclear power, coal and natural gas are said to be almost three times as reliable as wind and solar plants. Why should we not settle for those energy sources?
When it comes to capacity factor, some of the fossil fuel power sources are more reliable. You know, they can be run on much higher hours of power generation every year, while the renewable energy sources, due to its intermittent nature, still have a much lower capacity factor indicate. So this is the challenge. But on the other hand, the whole world now is facing such a kind of a pressing challenge on the climate change side, and so with the increasing frequency of all the extreme weather events. China and Africa, we both suffer from that, heat wave and flooding and drought and wildfire, you name it. So with that, the world have come together to sign the Paris Agreement and try to limit the temperature rise below 2 degrees and as much as possible below 1.5 degrees Celsius. And unfortunately, Africa is one of the most vulnerable continents. So I think it's very important for the whole world to come together to mitigate that by cutting the carbon emission. But in the meantime, the development rights of Africa, of African countries, African people, absolutely must be respected. And I think the best way, as Dr. Agam put it, is to try to tap into the rich resource of renewable energy. Yes, the emission factor is lower than the fossil fuel, but there's a way to try to overcome that problem. For example, in Europe, you know, we can see that in Germany, for example, they have solar and wind power generation. And then in the Northern Europe countries, they have a vast hydropower. And then in France, they have nuclear power. So they have built all this coordination between these three regions. And when there's wind, when there's great sunshine, they use renewable wind and solar, and then when it there's not, then they tap into the hydropower or nuclear power. So all these are solutions that not just Africa need to look into, but even in China so far, you know, we are also trying to learn from that and improve our own energy supply system.
Let's talk about some Chinese green products. Now, Dr. Gan, Chinese exports of electric vehicles, solar cells and lithium-ion batteries, often referred to as the new three, soared by 30% in 2023. Based on your observation, how popular are the Chinese green products in Kenya and in Africa as a whole? Have you been consuming any green products made in China? Let's say maybe you've taken a ride to the airport by a green energy bus made in China.
Brigitte, that is a wonderful idea. We welcome the idea, but it's like we Africans or Kenyans are still not ready. We embrace the technology. It's green, energy conserving, and environmentally friendly. But there are very few what you call charging points. It means that in terms of infrastructure, then we are not ready. In terms, because you may import what you call an electric vehicle or an electric solar-powered, whatever, the green energy-powered equipment. But the charge points, if it is a vehicle, are very few. So there is need for sensitization. There is need to empower Kenya Power to install numerous charging centers that will support the technology. It's green, it's a lot more affordable, and it doesn't actually emit any emissions. But if you bring in a vehicle, there are few that are there, very few, but always busy because the demand to use them is actually higher than what is actually there. The challenge we have, we do not have enough charge points for such technology.
And still on you, Dr. Gan, a new meeting of the Forum on China-Africa Cooperation will be taking place in Beijing later on this year. What priorities and targets should African countries and China be bringing forth when it comes to green energy transition? What's your take?
I think Africans should really polish up their policies of when technology is being transferred from China to Africa, then those who are coming in there, countries that come in to participate, should be policy ready. Because the challenge we have, the Chinese products are reasonably affordable. But when they land in African countries, then the African countries want to make a kill out of the fiscal policies like that, taxes, which make their product very expensive and unnecessarily bureaucratic when it lands at an importation point. So those African countries that come in to negotiate with Chinese manufacturers or technology providers should be investor ready on this other side and ensure that the importation policies they have at the points of entry should be welcoming. They don't discuss about that when they come to the Chinese table. They want the technology, but they use that kind of process to try and muzzle the recipient or the users here in Africa.
Well, I get the sense here from both of you that to lead this forward, there's a lot of potential for the private sector, especially within Africa. And there's also a need for communication. The investors coming from China and the recipients in Africa, for investors to even enter the continent, as illustrated by Dr. Agan when he was talking about the issues of the importing policies. They're not friendly enough to actually make this happen. We hope Africa can also get some lessons from China on how they are proceeding with this green development. That's all the time that we have in this edition of China Africa Talk. Mr. Ma and Dr. Gan, thank you so much for your insights on China Africa joint efforts towards green transition. And it's nice to know that the two are working towards this.
Thank you, Brigitte.
Thank you so much, Brigitte.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Thanks again. See you next time.